It is unfortunate that everybody who was ever born is not saved. And it isn't it should be such a difficult time for people to come to God. And the world takes advantage of us. As soon as we come to God, it comes very quickly to take us out of God and to move us. I looked this morning at a scripture, and I'm gonna start right where I left off in Christian education in Luke, and one thing that I want to look at this morning, and then we're going into our communion. In every place when it talks about Christ and about him being born, by his resurrection, he sends them immediately. If it's not Luke, then it's Matthew. If I don't see it there, I'll see it in the other one. Matthew chapter 28. And I also see it in when I look at Paul and Acts. And I know we're talking about Christ and Resurrection Sunday, so let me talk about this for a moment. In Acts, when Paul in the 22nd chapter, 26th chapter, 1-2, and I was told by Minister Gadugan I need to read my scripture first, and it's in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 7. And it says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, and lo, I have told him." And I want to say to all of you, one way to let the world know, this is why we baptize, and this is why we physically get in water and come up. The water doesn't save you, but it lets the world know you have changed, allegiance, and you have become a part. Peter says it's the sign of a good conscience before God. That's why when you come to the Lord, you need to be baptized. Not to save you. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. And you're letting everybody know, even when you've been out of God for a while, when you come to the Lord, you need to let the world know, I have come to God. I have gone into his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which it is. And one thing he says in this, the angels tell them when Jesus is risen, in all three scriptures, when you read them all four, they say, go tell everybody else that he's risen. And Then in Acts, the 22nd chapter, 26th chapter, 1 to 2, when you have the time, read it. You need to read about the Apostle Paul. We read about him on the Damascus Road in Acts 8 chapter. And you need to know that when Paul is on Acts 8, when Paul is on the Damascus Road, it is some 5 or 6 years or more, if not as many as 9, after Christ has been resurrected from the dead. And in all this time, he has been steadfastly not only not believing in Christ's resurrection, but he has been really turning as many people from the faith as he can to keep them from believing in it. I mean, the devil not only doesn't, you know, he will not only send people who don't believe in God, he'll send people to try and make you not believe in God.
Okay.
And he, it's not like Jesus was resurrected last week and Paul sees Jesus 2 months later. He's been not believing in the resurrection for a while. And sometimes when we see people, we need to understand these people haven't believed in the resurrection for a long time. It's been a long time since they stopped believing in the resurrection. I didn't say they stopped saying that they believe in God.
Uh-oh.
I didn't say that. They'll tell you very quickly, I believe in God and I go to church. Then why does your life have the resurrection in it? Why are you not resurrected? Why are you not by the Spirit? By the Spirit. When you believe in the resurrection, why are you not born again? Why don't you have a new start? Why aren't you the new creature that's created through Christ Jesus, that's born of the Spirit and by the power? There's power in the resurrection. It's not just a thing we say or a thing we do. There's great power. Mm-hmm. In the gospel is the power of God in the salvation. Not just the talk of God in the salvation. And not just the mention of God in the salvation. Not just the reading, but the power. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come in. You need the power.
The power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I need the power.
There's a power of the Holy Ghost. Not just the mention of being of the resurrection, but the power. His great power which he wrought. His great power which he, you know, works in you when he comes in. Tell him, say, Lord, I need the power.
Lord, I need the power.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
When the Lord, you know, when in the resurrection, first the power of you, that's why it's the birth, the new birth in the Spirit. You don't just get a, you know, you start afresh all over again. Someone who is free from sin. And then this is why you're the new creature, and the power comes in and by the resurrection. That's why it says in Romans that we're raised with him into newness of life. We're baptized into his death. We become partakers of his death. We take it on. We don't just talk about it and sing about it. Listen, when the Lord saves you, you die and are raised again. And this is why when he saves you, there's a separation and there's a change between the two. And you come to a point where when the Lord saves you, you're a new creature. You start over again, where people are trying to start and trying to have a life in God, not by starting over with a new life, but by having a motivational speaker tell you exercises and things you can do. Mental exercises. Say to yourself this. Say to yourself that. Well, we might say that too. Say to yourself, I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved.
Say to yourself, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
And mean it. Say to yourself, Jesus lives.
Jesus lives.
Tell somebody, God is, you know, God is real.
God is real.
And so when all of these situations, when Jesus is resurrected, immediately the angel tells them, he says, now go tell my disciples, and when it says specifically names Peter, and tell Peter, because by now he's probably feeling like he's the lowest of the lows and not coming back. And but the point is made in each situation, now go tell somebody that I'm risen. Now that you know I'm risen, go tell them. And Paul, after having been a great persecutor of Christians and of people who are in God, the world persecutes me, because Jesus said the world doesn't like you because it didn't like me.
That's right.
Not going to love you because it doesn't love me.
That's right.
The world doesn't love God. Says, well, you know, I'm not out there in the world. I go to church. The church world, if it's of the world and not of the Spirit, doesn't like God either.
Yep. Yeah.
You got to make sure that the power of God rests there, and the power of God makes us changes. Listen, I'm not into, you know, we sing the song, I can feel it in my hands, I can feel it in my feet. You might not feel it in your hands and your feet, but you can feel the power of God. You know when the Spirit has come in and made a difference versus when you're just trying to, like a weightlifter, psych yourself into believing in God. You can sense when the Word of God comes and the power goes forth. And when you tell God, Lord, I want to be in God, you can sense the power of God making a change, and you can sense the refreshing that comes with God. And it's something that you must hold on to and protect and keep, make your calling and election sure. And when they go to that sepulcher and Jesus is not there, they have instructions. Go tell somebody that he's alive. And Paul, when he, after these 5-6 years of preaching against God, when he, you know, and give me a minute with that. He has made up in his mind that Jesus is dead, and he's made up in his mind, there's no doubt in his mind, it's easier for him to believe that someone has stolen the body than it is for the body to be resurrected. And since you read the Bible, you said, how can he believe that? But if you had been there and been with Paul, you would have said the same thing. Did he believe they stole it? Then he resurrected. And he is so sure. Everybody in here today, stop being so sure of what the world gives you. Stay with the Word of God. For years, he goes out, and in the name of God, because there's one person I saw this one guy, I don't know his name, and I'm glad I don't. So I'm on a video some years ago, and his whole church, if he has one or whatever it is, his whole preaching, his whole sermon is about saying that Paul isn't of God. That's how he spends that's his point. That the gospel is Paul's gospel and it's not of God. Well, you know, the devil goes from the light and easy people who just kind of subtly tell you, you know, half God said, and he lets you go wherever. The devil doesn't care whether it takes a little bit to keep you out of God or a lot. As long as you're not in God. He doesn't, if it works to keep you out of God, for everyone to think you're great and to love you, if that separates you from God, fine with the devil. And if it works for the devil, for everyone to put you down and hate you, and that makes you not call on God, the devil doesn't matter. As long as you're not in God. That's why when you look at yourself and the world, all that is of the world, every association, you have to keep saying, Where does this fit? How does it work with me and God? Yeah. How does it affect my relationship with God? What does it do with my relationship in God? I have a relationship with God. My wife and I have a relationship, and when I meet people, especially women, I have to consider always, how does it affect my relationship with my wife? And you have to say to yourself, how does this friendship, how does this kinship, how does this whatever affect my relationship with God? So after Paul, after these 5 years, when he finally meets Jesus on the Damascus Road, he meets him on the Damascus Road, and Jesus comes, it's not at night. Remember I told you about the deer in the headlights? When Paul meets Jesus on the Damascus Road, it's not midnight. It's high noon. And all around him, when he meets him, and a light shines to Paul brighter than the noonday sun, so that he could miss it. And you know what Paul does when that light comes? He falls to his face and he's still. And Jesus speaks to him and calls him. And think of it. What is it like, Sister Gamble, if someone that you know is dead, and you go over to Walmart today, your whole family knows they're dead, and you haven't seen them for 5 years, and you go to Walmart today, and there they are. I'm sure I know what you're going to do. You're going to get on your phone, and you're going to call Pam Gamble, and you're going to say, Mama, they're not dead. Now, of course, they wouldn't be resurrected. They never were dead. We just thought they were. But the point being, what are you going to do? You're going to go tell everybody you know who thought they were dead. They are
alive.
And that's what Paul does. He goes immediately. Sean, define this one in Acts 22 or 26. He goes immediately to the synagogue. Why the synagogue? He doesn't go to the Gentile churches to preach. He goes to the synagogue. And he immediately tells them that Jesus lives. Why does he do this? Because all of us who love anybody, we don't like to see them wrong. And we would call up, since he is from the synagogue, and he's been telling them all these years he's definitely dead. When he finds out he's definitely alive, they're the very first ones, because immediately when he finds out that Jesus is alive, he knows that all those who said he was dead are wrong. And if Jesus' life is life, then all those who don't believe in it have death. You should want everybody you know to know that Jesus lives. If he lives in you, you should want them to know that Jesus lives. It doesn't matter how you have to do it, but you should want them to know Jesus lives. Because until they know he lives, they are dead. Life in Christ. Acts 9 and 19, she says. My last scripture, then we'll have communion. What did you say?
And straightway decreased Christ, that one.
Yeah, that one. That works.
That's 9 and 20.
Acts 9 and 20, she said. See if I can turn to it real quick. Acts 9 and 20. It says, and when he received meat, and after he had gotten his sight and everything, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Immediately. Soon as he could get up. Soon as he could get out. He had to tell everybody. He went right. You know, and we talk about Paul preaching to the Gentiles and preaching to all those people. Let me tell you, before he went to preach to the Gentiles, he didn't preach to them until the Jews stopped listening to him.
That's right.
He went right back to the synagogue. And why wouldn't he? Don't you know when the Lord saved me, I wanted my children saved? Don't you know that when you know God, you want the people closest to you saved?
Right.
How can you know that Jesus is risen and sit there and watch someone you love go to hell with at least not telling them you need the Lord? He couldn't deny that Jesus had risen because he had seen him. He made up his mind. Soon as they came into the sepulcher, the angel told them, he's risen. Go and tell everybody he's risen. Well, when Mary went and tell the disciples, they still didn't believe. They said she's out of her mind.
Yeah, that's what they said.
She's seeing things. You know why?
Yeah.
Because for them, it was a difficult thing to believe that anyone would be risen from the dead. But for us, we're not supposed to have that problem. We've seen it by miracles, signs, and wonders. Your difficulty in believing the resurrection is the same problem you have in trusting God for what you need. Trusting God for what you want. Trusting God for how he will deliver. Trusting God for your happiness. Trusting God for your peace. I want to encourage everyone. Christ lives. My hope is in his living. Today, for everybody you know who's not saved, you know what you need to tell them? Jesus lives. Then you need to tell them something else. You need to tell them you need Jesus. You might not think you do, but you do. You need to be saved. Everybody we know needs to be saved. Paul knew this. This is why he went through what he went through. He said, you know what? We've been wrong. I got to get back to these people and get them saved. They've been wrong. I can't go along with them any longer. I can't keep going along with them because now I know the difference. They need to be saved. If you know somebody today who needs to be saved, stop playing around with them and tell them the truth. I love you, but you need to be saved. I am saved. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Yes, I believe. Then why are you still living in death?
Come on, man of God. Good.
Why are you doing that? Why, after he Hebrews says, through himself purged our sins. Why are you still in sin when he did so much to set you free from sin? How can we that are dead in sin dwell any longer therein? Because he lives, everybody standing. Want to have our communion today? I'm just going to have everybody just right across here. Yeah, right across there. There's only a few of us. Just come straight down, right across that front row. Be close to the front row and watch my wires so they don't trip over the wires. Right up against, right against the front row, right there. Right where the elbow is. There you go, right there. Here. So I get everybody. That's the y'all can spread out. You can spread out. Plenty of room. Elbow. There you go. Praise the Lord. We have communion because communion represents Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. Communion represents Christ's body and blood. We only have two ordinances that we follow.
Will you read First Corinthians?
Oh, you can. That would be good. We only have two ordinances that we follow. One of them is baptism, the other one is communion. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, I think it is. And this represents our faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. We don't believe like some religions, you know, they can believe what they want, but we don't have to go through that. This is grape juice in these cups. It's grape juice. When we pour it in there, it's going to stay grape juice. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say something over it and change it into blood. We'll drink blood anyway. Mm-hmm. Actually, beer and kosher. But and this is bread, this is not flesh, so we don't call it the host. But Damascus, it represents my faith in Christ.
Yes.
Because it talks about me consuming all of him. In other words, what I take into my body is what I consume. It's not just what I look at, but it's what I consume. And in a spiritual sense, he's referring to it. When we have Christ, we're supposed to consume him. We're supposed to receive him. And he says in the 11th chapter, read, for I have received this night.
Yes. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you.
I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. In other words, he's saying, what I'm telling you to do is what I got from God.
Amen.
I didn't just invent this, got this from God. And Paul, in particular, you know, had to get it by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he wasn't there in the last supper. All right.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this in my body, which is broken for you.
That same night that he was with the disciples, he told them, he broke bread, he said, take this, and you hold on to it. He said, take this, this represents my body.
This do in remembrance.
Which was broken for you. Wait. He said, take, eat this, this represents my body. You know why it represents my body? Because you got to believe that he died.
Amen.
It's not a symbolic death, but he died a real death. You got to believe that his body was beaten, not just a symbolic body, but his real body was beaten. His real body bore the stripes. Oh, it's you. His real body. Take this. This is my body, which is broken for you. And he said in this here.
Yes. The next one.
I'm getting. Got it. He said, take. This is my body which is broken for you. Go ahead.
It was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
He didn't say eat all of it.
Huh?
Eat all of it.
He said this do in remembrance
before
of me.
Before that.
Before that?
Mm-hmm.
For I have received of the Lord.
Okay. Take, eat. This is what we're supposed to do. Take, this is my body which is broken for him. Mm-hmm. Eat all of it. This do in remembrance of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink."
This cup represents the New Testament of his blood. It represents the New Testament because this is not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of Jesus Christ. It represents the perfect, sinless blood of Christ for the remission of our sins. It's not some. It is when he says this is the new covenant, because it is not a covenant under the law, but it is after an endless life. Keep going.
Keep reading.
Yeah, keep reading.
Is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Drink. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, how he loves me.
Thank God for everybody who's on Zoom today. I pray, Lord, just bless you.